This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد للإله سابغ النعم وخالق الإنسان من بعد العدم فالحمد ثم الحمد ثم الحمد لك حمدا كثيرا طيبا يا رب لك أعطيتنا خيرا كثيرا ربنا سترت عن كل الورى عيوبنا ثم الصلاة بعد والتسليم على النبي المصطفى الكريم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His help. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and the consequences of our actions. Indeed, whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can misguide. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to misguide, none can guide him back to the straight path. I bear witness and I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final prophet and most perfect worshipper. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us in the Quran to be conscious of him, to have his taqwa. For he said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah the way that Allah deserves that you have taqwa of him. And do not die except in a state of Islam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the month of Ramadan is around the corner. And historically speaking, if you look at this blessed month, you find that Allah chose this month to manifest some of His choicest blessings and some of the most magnificent victories of the entire religion of Islam. And in today's short khutbah, I will cover around half a dozen or so of the most significant manifestations of Allah's izzah and Allah's nasr and Allah's tamkeen upon the ummah during this month. And of course, we begin with the most important of all battles, and that is the battle of Badr. That battle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran as Yawm al-Furqan, the day that truth and falsehood were separated from one another and victory was given to the truth. The battle of Badr took place on the 17th of this month, and the Muslims were less than one third of the Quraysh. And the Muslims did not have even a half of the camels and even a fourth of the horses. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them such a decisive victory. It was as if it was unimaginable. Even the Muslims who first heard it, they did not believe the amount of victory that had taken place. And it took place on the 17th of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that on that day, I am with you and the angels are with you. سَأُمِدُّكُمْ I am going to help you with 3,000 angels straight from me. And that occurred, as we know, in the first half of the month of Ramadan. It is not a coincidence, therefore, that the culmination of the seerah, the culmination of the victories of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also occurred in the month of Ramadan, in the 8th year of the hijrah, in the conquest of Mecca, on the 23rd of Ramadan, 20 years of struggle, countless lives lost, hundreds and hundreds of people had lost their lives, dozens of battles fought. And on that auspicious day, in the last 10 days of Ramadan, on the days of Laylatul Qadr, the Muslim army marched into Mecca. And they conquered it without even so much as a battle, without even a war being fought. They conquered it peacefully, and the people embraced Islam. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا It is not a coincidence that the first great victory and the last great victory of the seerah occurred in this month of Ramadan. But it was not only in the seerah that the blessings of Ramadan were shown. Throughout Islamic history, Ramadan has been a time of victory and a time of conquest for the ummah itself. A few years after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many were the battles that were fought, and the Muslims took on the single greatest superpower of its time, and that is the Sassanid Empire, also called the Persian Empire. And the Sassanid Empire had been of the most mightiest empires in all of human history. For 400 years, the Romans and the Persians had been at battle with one another, and neither one side was able to defeat the other. And here comes a third party. Here comes a group of people who were looked down upon by the superpowers. They were not viewed as being a viable threat. They were not viewed as being military conquerors. They didn't have the horses, the manpower. They didn't have the equipment. They did not have the training of the Sassanid Empire. And yet they took on and they challenged the Sassanid Empire. And a few days before the month of Ramadan, the Battle of Qadisiyah took place. And that famous Battle of Qadisiyah, where Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he took on the Sassanid Emperor and his forces, and a decisive victory that opened the door for the conquest of the entire Persian Empire. Something that had not happened for 300 years. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu ta'ala an, he, with the blessings of Allah, opened up the door to the conquest of the entire Persian province. And this, of course, then came under Darul Islam. And the most important conquest took place on the eve of the month of Ramadan. A few years later, the Muslim forces were in Egypt, and one of the most important battles of Egypt took place, and that was the battle of conquering the famous city, the port city of Alexandria. And this battle is known as Ma'rakatu Ayn al-Shams. And there was close by from Alexandria, there was a massive fortress called the Babylonian Fortress. And these two fortresses and cities, Alexandria and the fortress of Babylon, were considered to be impenetrable, and they were considered to be the most sophisticated fortress in all of Egypt. And the Muslims sent troops after troops. Umar ibn al-Khattab sent reinforcements three times under Amr ibn al-As and others. And finally, it was in the 19th year of the Hijrah, in the month of Ramadan, where Zubayr ibn al-Awwam and others, where they were able to open up the fortress and then continue on the conquest of Egypt. And of course, Egypt then became as well Darul Islam. The very similar time frame, a few decades later, in the time of the Umayyads, the Umayyads sent out armies across the globe, and of the most significant conquest that took place is the Fath of Andalus, the conquering of Andalus. And this took place under the forces of Tariq ibn Ziyad, and on the other side was the Visigothic kingdom. The Visigothic emperor that was fighting under King Roderick. King Roderick on the one side and Tariq ibn Ziyad on the other side. And the forces lined up. Tariq ibn Ziyad had around 10 to 12,000 men. And King Roderick had at the very least 30 to 40,000 men. This was the decisive battle. If this battle would be lost, Andalus would never be conquered. And the Muslims prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They made dua to Allah. And on the 25th of Ramadan, in the year of 93 Hijrah, the battle took place between King Roderick and Tariq ibn Ziyad, and the Muslims won a decisive victory. King Roderick disappeared, they could not find his body, and that led to chaos in the ranks of the Visigothic kingdom, until city by city, fortress by fortress, village by village, the Muslims continued until they made their way to the very lands of what is now France. And at one point in time, they had conquered essentially the entire Iberian Peninsula, entire country of Spain, than a small slither up north, which was beyond the mountains. They couldn't get there. Otherwise, this conquest in the 93rd year of the Hijrah, it opened up the door to the entire conquest of Andalus. And as we are all aware, the Muslims ruled Andalus for 750 glory years. And a civilization was seen in Andalus that was unprecedented in the entire human world. A civilization of cultivation, of tolerance, of enlightenment. All the famous scholars and scientists and all the thinkers of whatever faith background were flourishing in that land. The Muslims demonstrated to Europe what would happen if Europe was ruled by the rules of Islam and not by the intolerance of the Christianity of that time. And a civilization appeared that outshone every civilization in Europe at that point in time. When did it start? In the 93rd year of the Hijrah, in the month of Ramadan, with Tariq ibn Ziyad on one side and King Roderick on the other. If that wasn't enough, the very next year, those were the days that the Muslims were doing things of a different nature and they were obeying Allah and His Messenger. In the very next year, in the 94th year of the Hijrah, under the same Umayyad Khalifa, Muhammad ibn Qasim was fighting against King Dahar, Raja Dahar. They call him Raja Dahar, in the province of Sindh, in the modern land of Pakistan. And he was fighting against Raja Dahar because Raja Dahar had abducted some Muslims during Hajj, and he had molested some of the women and whatnot. And the Umayyad Khalifa became so enraged, he sent Muhammad ibn Qasim to the land of Sindh, to the land of Hindustan, of India. And there, in the 94th year of the Hijrah, in the month of Ramadan, with Hajjaj ibn Yusuf's nephew, Muhammad ibn Qasim, on one side, and Raja Dahar with his elephants on the other side, a decisive victory was fought in the land of what is now Makran, which is around 2 hours outside of Karachi of Pakistan. And Muhammad ibn Qasim, at the tender age of 17, won a decisive victory over Raja Dahar. And because of this, Ibn Qasim managed to establish Islamic rule in the province of Makran, in the province of Multan. And for the next 300 years, a dynasty was formed there called the Habarid dynasty, that ruled in the name of Islam in a land full of idol worshippers and of pagans, but Islam continued to spread, and many people in that region continued to convert, until finally, as we know, the majority of that region became Muslim by interacting with Muslims. And now, of course, the nation state of Pakistan was created in that very province. It is essentially that region where this took place. When did it all begin? In the 94th year of the Hijrah, in the month of Ramadan, when Allah Azza wa Jal blessed the forces of Muhammad ibn Qasim to win over Raja Dahar. If that wasn't enough, the list goes on and on. And to be brutally honest, I had to cut back many of the incidents because of the time frame, because there are so many amazing victories in this month of Ramadan. Of the most significant victories in the month of Ramadan is the victory of the Battle of Hittin in the year 583 Hijrah. The year 583 Hijrah, corresponding to 1187 CE, in which Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, he conquered the very lands that had been taken in the Crusades, and he fought the Crusaders in Palestine, in the land Al-Ard Al-Muqaddas, in Baytul Maqdis, and he liberated Jerusalem that had been conquered and been subjugated to the rule of vicious Christians for over 90 years. As you should all be familiar with, my dear Muslims, when the Crusaders conquered Jerusalem, one of the worst massacres of human history took place that had hardly occurred up until that point in time. Every man, woman, and child, every toddler and elderly man, every Muslim and non-Catholic Christian, because even the Christians that were Arab Christians were killed. Every Jewish person of that land was massacred by the Crusader army, so much so that it is estimated that perhaps up to 500,000 people were killed. And remember, they would have been killed by the sword one after the other. For days and days, the Muslims were huddled in the Aqsa complex, and batch by batch they would be brought out and executed, until one of the Crusaders wrote back, it is well recorded in history, praising the accomplishments of the Crusaders and saying, I want to give you glad tidings that the city is flowing in Muslim blood up until my ankles. I am walking in blood. And it is said that the stench from Aqsa was so much that travelers had to cover their nose for 1 year after the massacre because of the stench of the bodies. For 90 years the Crusaders ruled in a vicious manner. They made the masjid complex into a stable, a manure place for their horses. You can still see, if you go to Aqsa, and I have seen with my own eyes, that they carved into the walls, they carved stable places for their horses and rings to put their horses. This is the masjid. And they converted that into a stable and a manure dump. This is what they did. 90 years went by. Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi gathered together his forces, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him to march against the army of the Crusaders, and he surrounded them in the month of Ramadan in 583 Hijrah. And in fact, it was corresponding to the 4th of July, 1187, Salah ad-Din's forces faced over 20,000 Frankish warriors, and they won over them in a decisive battle. The night before, on one of the odd nights, the army of Salah ad-Din was praying Taraweeh and begging and crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for victory. They prayed Taraweeh and Qiyam and Tahajjud because it was the month of Ramadan. And the next morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that decisive victory. And of course, when Salah ad-Din marched into the city and he conquered the city, the Christians were worried that he would do unto them as their ancestors had done unto the Muslims. But he made a commandment and a rule, and he ordered his elite arm, because the army was consisting of many groups of people. Some of them were just, you know, the mobs. They were just signing up to the army. He took his elite guard, his personal crew, called them the Marines or whatnot, and he enforced upon them to make sure the Muslims did not mob against the Christians. The Muslims did not massacre the Christians out of anger that their ancestors had been killed. And he made a general promise that all of you are free. I will do as the Prophet ﷺ did when he conquered Mecca. اذهبوا وأنتم الطلقاء. Like the Prophet ﷺ, in the month of Ramadan, forgave everyone, even the worst enemies. And this caused the people to convert to Islam. Now, when Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi conquered Jerusalem, he did the same thing as the Prophet ﷺ did. And he forgave all of the Christians, and he guaranteed their safe passage back to their lands. Under the armed of his own forces, his personal military forces were surrounding the Christians, so that the Muslims who had lost their ancestors would not. He said, no, it's not their fault, it's their ancestors. We will not take our vengeance on them, because the 90 years had gone by. So those Christians were not persecuted or killed, and they were saved. And Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi demonstrated the gentle side of Islam, the mercy of Islam, so much so that the kings of his time, the rulers of his time of Europe, to this day, Salah ad-Din is considered to be a legendary general, a gentleman, a real ruler. Even his opponents and his foes admired and respected him. And we see over here why. And all of this occurred in the month of Ramadan. and of the most significant conquest of the month of Ramadan. Perhaps politically speaking, one of the greatest and most important battles that was ever fought in this month of Ramadan is the famous battle of Ain Jalut that took place, the well of Goliath, Ain Jalut, the well of Goliath, that took place on the 25th of Ramadan in the year 658 of the Hijrah, corresponding to September 1260 CE. And in this battle, which is one of the most decisive battles in the history of Islam, and how I wish that we would study our history and know our history to see the good and the bad, the positives and the negatives, so that we can benefit from what has happened before us. In a nutshell, you've all heard of Genghis Khan, you've all heard of the Mongol invasion. Well, the Mongols invaded the lands that were east of them. That's the lands of Islam. Samarkand, Bukhara, Uzbekistan. They continued working their way forward. They surrounded Baghdad in 1258, 1260. They destroyed the Abbasid Empire. They killed every single member of the Khalifa's family. And they destroyed the entire city of Baghdad. And the people thought, this is Qiyamah. Ya'juj and Ma'juj is coming now. They were the most brutal, uncivilized, barbaric group that humanity had ever seen. And that is why to this day, the Mongolian invasion is something that the common culture, the children see their cartoons about it. Because it was one of those tragedies that has seeped into the imagination of mankind. The Mongolian invasion was one of the most devastating invasions in human history. And the Muslims took the bulk of that invasion, even though some Christian kingdoms as well were affected. But because the Mongolian army invaded directly the lands of Islam, it was essentially the Muslim lands. The Abbasid Caliphate came to an end. The Mongols conquered, imagine if you can imagine a map, from essentially the borders of China. They made their way throughout the Middle East. They ransacked and raped Baghdad. They surrounded Damascus, took over Damascus, Palestine. They marched onwards and they made their way to a small land of a province of Egypt. And up until that point in time, Egypt had not been of a prominent part of the Muslim world in the sense that it was never a political or an intellectual capital up until this point in time. Everything would change after this. So the entire lands of Islam had been ravished and raged. Now they make their way and they think they'll get rid of Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall save his religion in ways we don't understand. And a small provincial dynasty that was called the Slave Dynasty, Mamluks. The Mamluk dynasty, they decided to challenge the grandson of Genghis Khan. Many years had gone by. Genghis Khan has long died. Now it is his grandson, Hulagu Khan, is now in charge. And now this small dynasty of the Mamluks, they took on this massive, indefeatable, or so the people thought, army of the Mongolians. And in this army, the leader of the Muslims, he came across a tactic that was the first time in human history ever employed. And that is to use gunpowder in warfare. It had never been done before. And the leader of the Muslim army decided to use something called gunpowder. And in fact, he used it, again, time is limited. He didn't use it the way we think. He actually used it to make loud noises to scare the horses of the Mongolians, because they still hadn't developed guns and cannons. Again, this is 1260 CE. Plenty of time is going to go by before guns and cannons are coming. The first time that this technology was used in the battle, it was from the Mamluks, the Muslim side. And the first time the Mongolians were defeated was in the battle of Ain Jalut on the 25th of Ramadan in the year 658 of the Hijrah, when people thought that the lands of Islam would be gone, when people thought there is no hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the people hope, and this small slave dynasty became the most powerful dynasty for the next 300 years until the Ottoman Turks took over. And Egypt became the intellectual and the political capital of the Muslim land. And it was in that time frame where the status of Egypt was established because of the victory of the Mamluks in Ramadan. My dear brothers and sisters, I can go on and on, but time is limited. The question that arises when I finish the khutbah here, the first khutbah, why am I mentioning past historical battles? Of what relevance is it to us right now? The response should be resoundingly clear to all of us who are pondering, and that is the following. This month is a month of victory. This month is a month of izzah. It is a month of glory. It is a month of conquests. This month is a month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows Islam to rise and flourish throughout the world, throughout history. Some of the most important battles of our ummah were fought and won in this month, and it is not a coincidence. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give victory over the Mongols in this month, if He can give victory over the Crusaders in this month, if He can give victory over the Visigoths in this month, if He can give victory over Raja Dahir in this month, then how about victory over my and your personal sins? How about victory over the struggles of my life and your life? How about victory over the habits that I have and I'm struggling with and you have and you're struggling with? This is the month of victory for the ummah and for every one of us. If we put our mind to it, if we follow in the footsteps of the righteous Muslims, then just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to them in their magnificent battles, then surely the battles of my life, the battles of my personal struggles, the battles of my own shahawat and shubuhat are much more easy to conquer than conquering Chinggis Khan and conquering Raja Dahir and others. This is the month of victory. Put your mind to it. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you shall be a victor in this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with and through the Quran, and may He make us of those who its verses they understand, and may He make us of those who implement His commandments throughout our lifespan. I ask Allah to forgive me. You will as well ask Him, for He is the Ghafoor, the Rahman. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. O Muslims, many are the Ramadans that we have fasted. For some amongst us, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. For others, if they are young, this might actually be their first Ramadan. For most of us, we are, alhamdulillah, experienced in Ramadan, and we are now facing yet another Ramadan. And every single Ramadan, the same trepidation, the same fear. How can I do it? How can I go without lunch? How can I not drink water throughout this hot time of June, July, when it's going to happen? And every single year, we fast the first day, and we say it's so easy. How can this be happening? And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants to make things easy for you. He does not want to make things difficult. My dear brothers and sisters, some practical advice to myself and all of you during this month. During this month, we really do see the best of the best. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, across the globe, the ummah demonstrates its piety and iman. Gallup poll did a survey a few years ago about all the religions across the globe and their rituals. And they said that the religion that observes the ritual the most out of all religions, it is the fast of Ramadan as observed by the Muslims. A whopping 75% of the ummah observes the fast. And that was light years ahead of the second statistic, way after that. The ummah really is alive, and we see it during this month of Ramadan. The mosques are packed to capacity. Even though we have work and school the next day, people are praying an hour, two, three every night. The Quran is being recited, dhikr is being done, dua is being made. The fast demonstrate iman and taqwa. But then the month finishes, and subhanAllah, it's as if the bubble has burst and the balloon falls down back to the ground. I want to be very pragmatic, my dear brothers and sisters. It is impossible that the spirit of Ramadan will be found after Ramadan. That's not going to happen. We rise up in Ramadan higher and higher and higher. We finish on a crescendo in the last 10 nights and the khatam. But then when Ramadan finishes, we flutter back down. And at some level, that is inevitable. But my humble suggestion to all of you and to myself is the following. My dear brothers and sisters, we cannot maintain the levels of iman in Ramadan outside of Ramadan. In fact, that's not the goal. But imagine joining a gym, getting training under the best gym instructor for a month, 2 months, 3 months. You get to your lifestyle, your routine. Now you have, mashallah, tabarakallah, a system. You're going daily. You have everything down. Then imagine that your membership expires. You're no longer able to be a part of that gym. Some of us, we will drop back down, gain all the weight. But that's not the point. If you cannot maintain the efficiency that you had during that trial membership, at least benefit from some habits. Acquire some wisdom and maintain some of the etiquettes that we did in Ramadan. The goal, my dear brothers and sisters, is that every Ramadan we rise higher and higher and higher. When we flutter back, and we will flutter back, where we end should be higher than where we began the month. That is the goal of Ramadan. So if we rose up, we went 100 notches higher, we flutter back down, we go down to 30, 20, 10, but we stop there. We do not go back to status quo before the month. Then the next Ramadan comes, we go another 100 steps, then we flutter back down, we go down until we're another 10, 20. Now we are double what we were 2 years ago. And then slowly but surely, every Ramadan, we climb up a few ladders, we climb up a few steps, we stay there, we stick to that routine. Next Ramadan, we go higher. Next Ramadan, we go higher. So every Ramadan becomes a boot camp for us. Every Ramadan becomes a time where we become better and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that, and this is my dua, and say ameen to this, we ask Allah that our best Ramadan is our last Ramadan, and our most perfect Ramadan is the Ramadan closest to our death. We want every year to be better than the last year, and every day to be better than the last day, and we want to have the most best Ramadan of our lives, the year that we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will only be done if we have this in mind, that the goal is I will use this month to come closer to Allah as much as I can. When Ramadan finishes, I cannot maintain that level, but I will not go back to status quo. I will not return to everything that I had, and I will be higher than I was. And we do this every single year until we meet our Lord. And that is the real wisdom of Ramadan, and the real method that we will use to conquer ourselves slowly but surely, bit by bit, and we will inshallah ta'ala be victorious. Allahumma inni da'in fa aminu. Allahumma la tada'na fi hadha al-yawmi dhamman illa ghafarta, wa la hamman illa farajta, wa la daynan illa qadayta, wa la maridan illa shafayta, wa la asiran illa yassarta. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك رسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر. وأقم الصلاة.
صلى عليك الله يا خير الورى، تعدد حبات الرمال وأكثرا. صلى عليك الله ما غيث هما، فوق السهول وبالجبال وبالقرى، فوق السهول وبالجبال وبالقرى.